Judy, of course, this entire episode has been extremely tragic, but one of the most tragic episodes while this was going on were the people who were jumping from the buildings. You have devoted a lot of time to the jumpers. Tell me why.
I feel that I can somewhat relate to them, that I felt that they were the, some of them that were communicating through their actions. And I really felt for them. I put myself in their position and really felt that I sort of owed it to them. At first, I felt it was difficult to see the pictures of them. And then I realized that, you know, somebody needed to tell their story. And I made them a promise, and I felt that, you know, once I did that, then I could deal with it because I was fulfilling a promise to them. They had, if you were, you know, at the end of your life and you wanted to tell somebody what you were experiencing, wouldn't it be frustrating?
Oh, extremely.
And, that's why I really feel a connection with these folks, some of them in particular. And in particular, this group of folks around the 105th floor, the North Tower. If you look carefully, they're taking their clothes off. There's some that have their shirts missing, some have their pants missing. There's this one fellow who's in the process of taking his pants off. He's hanging by a finger and a toe, or, you know, a hand and a foot, taking his pants off outside the building.
Why would he do that?
If you think about it, gee, you know, if I were in that situation, if the building were on fire, I'd run to the bathroom before I lost water pressure and get my clothes wet, get extra wet clothing and wrapped around my head and head for the door.
Right.
I'd be wet. If the fire sprinklers came on, I'd be wet. If the fire sprinklers didn't come on and it was hot there, I'd be wet from sweating. Any which way you look at it, you're wet. Now, whatever's going on inside the building requires them to be outside the building. Obviously they want to live. They're hanging on. If it was smoke, well, and they, for some peculiar reason, need to take their pants off, you hold your breath, you step in, take the pants off, and step back out, or climb back out. But there wasn't smoke coming out the window there. So what's the deal? If it's heat, you know, firefighters don't fight fires in the nude. They have a protective layer. Their, of course, protective layer is better than ours.
Absolutely.
Just regular street clothes, but clothing protects you from a fire. The clothes get burned before the body gets burned.
Okay, so, but what are you saying?
There's something going on in there that's not fire that requires them to take their clothes off.
Well, I mean, why would they take their clothes off?
Wet clothes, if there's an energy field inside the building that affects wet clothing more than it affects dry clothing.
Almost like electrical charges?
Something. I'm... can't tell exactly what, but that is the only thing that would make sense to me. For example, the active denial system used for crowd control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that's what was used, but that emits a microwave signal. And we all are familiar with the microwave oven, that if you put a wet paper towel in your oven, it cooks. If it's dry, it doesn't cook.
I see what you mean.
The water is more affected. And
so
they say with the active denial system that if you have wet clothing, it's many times worse.
So with the wet clothing on, they might have been cooking.
Yes.
Interesting.
And getting relief by taking the clothing off.
Now you just mentioned that, you know, what if they want to try to communicate with us? In your book, Where Did the Towers Go? And you have some very shockingly sad pictures. But they look like, in some cases, people who are jumping. But not just jumping. They look like they're trying to make some kind of signal or something, don't they?
Or there's one that looks like he's trying to fly. Like, how'd I get here? Like, he doesn't realize, you know, how he wasn't expecting to be where he is.
Like he may have flipped out?
Like somehow he ended up outside the building without planning to be there. And there's one...
Well, they could have been in shock, right?
Right, but also I think of, you know, if something feels hot, doesn't mean it's physically hot, like with a thermometer, but something like, you know, what microwaves would do would create that same effect, that if your hand is on a hot burner on the stove, you don't sit there and think about if you're going to take it off or not. Your hand just flies off the burner.
It just flies off the burner.
And
that's that system we have inside of us that saves us.
Instinct. So if there's some sort of weird signal going on inside the building, they just fly from it. And then, whoa, how'd I get here?
And it'll make more sense to people when we get into this pretty soon. Now, what do you think the main question is that a number of people should be asking in relation to the destruction of the World Trade Center?
Where did the buildings go? There's a photo that's taken around noon on 9/11. Mm-hmm. Building 7 is still standing there. And you can see it in the background. The picture is from West Street down at the Liberty Street intersection.
Now, is this not the helicopter shot that you have on your cover, right?
No.
Okay.
This is one at ground level, and there's several of them, like the ambulance picture. There's an ambulance that was parked in front of Tower 1 on West Street.
Okay.
And Tower 1's not there anymore, but the ambulance is there. Tower 1 is gone down to the ground.
But the ambulance is still there.
Yeah, and the ambulance is still there.
That's strange. That should have been obliterated too, don't you think?
Yeah, if you have this air, you know, whooshing out, didn't it blow the ambulance away? Why isn't the ambulance crushed? There's a lot of questions like that. And if you have the book there, page 191, there's a picture. I also sent into
Lex.
Yeah.
And he's got some clips that you sent him too.
That image, right, where it's an elevation map of what was left afterwards, and with a ghost image of what should be there.
Yeah, okay.
You just can't account for the missing material. But the most amazing part of it is those two little pimples where there's an arrow that points that people survived here.
Yeah.
And there was just blue sky above them. They weren't crushed.
And that's right under the tower.
Yeah, in the third floor. I've got some of the quotes of the folks who were in that zone in stairwell B mm-hmm. at the start of the chapter. They were just in amazement. They were calling for their buddies, you know, help. And he said, we just kept telling them we're in stairwell B. I remember everyone had the same exasperation I did. We must have told them 100 times. B stairwell, second floor, third floor. North Tower, B stairwell, second, third, fourth floor, North Tower, stairwell B, North Tower. Where are you? North Tower, stairwell B, second, third floor. You could hear they didn't understand where we were either. I'm going, my God, aren't you guys listening? And they said, where's North Tower?
Jeez.
From the outside, it looked like nothing was left. There's this little pimple there. And another one said, I looked and said, guys, there used to be 106 floors above us, and now I'm seeing sunshine. There's nothing above us. That big building doesn't exist.
I mean, that the pile of rubble that fell from all those floors should have been 200 or 300 feet tall, shouldn't it?
Yes, not ground level.